Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL podcast for first week of finals 2022. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who takes issue with Craig McRae, Collingwood coach, for his post-game press conference. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. What a round of football we just went through. The first week of finals, the qualifying and elimination finals. Possibly, I think, and we'll get to it very shortly, the best opening round of finals I can remember. But sullied, I think, by Craig McRae, who after the game, so absolute belter of a qualifying final on Saturday afternoon between Collingwood and Geelong. Just two superpowers going toe-to-toe for 2.5 hours. It was a fucking amazing game. And Collingwood got home by one kick, one goal they got home by, and a few players, Collingwood players, slumped to the ground at the end of the game. You know, they were exhausted. It was tough. They couldn't believe what had happened. And Craig McRae took umbrage with his players reacting like that and said, "Don't do that. You're not losers. We may have lost the game. You're not losers." And Craig McRae, I just need to tell you that your team on Saturday afternoon were a bunch of fucking losers. Because when you have less points than the opposition team, and trust me, I have supported the team for 20 years, and I know what a fucking loss looks like, mate. And that was a team that lost. Therefore, ipso facto, they're losers.
Ipso facto, fucking hell, you're on the big words right early. Yeah, but also, yeah. I mean, in Carlton's defence, like, they don't often slump to the ground because they didn't put the effort in the first place.
That's true.
But yes, I'm looking at the AFL website right now. It was Geelong 78, Collingwood 72. I think Craig McRae, that your team lost.
Yes, you have lost your mind. Like, yeah, I guess you're right. When Carlton lose, they're over there shaking hands, laughing, having fun, thinking about how they're just getting paid and everything's going to be fine.
Who's getting a brown paper bag tonight, eh?
yeah, that's right. So I guess, have you ever heard a coach kind of speak like that, to just go, "Hey, we're not losers. We've still got another game to play. They did really well, and ultimately, you know, you're still a bunch of good guys who aren't losers." It's like, yeah, I get what he's kind of saying. Maybe don't lie on the ground. But also, in the moment, you just go, "I'm fucking cooked, mate. Like, I'm lying on the ground because I lost."
Yeah, like, it was an incredible game. Like, to the effort they all put in. Like, if you're the winner, you can put up your arms. If you lose, like, you just go, "Oh, I just want to lie on the ground for a while," because it really fucking hurts being a footballer.
Well, just to lose like that, like, when you kind of go, because, you know, well, the start of the fourth, they got out to a two-goal lead, and so you kind of thought, "Oh, Collingwood had probably got this," and then to lose the way they did, you can see why they slump on the ground. Like,
yeah.
I would have fucking thrown boots into the crowd, spat at opposition. Like, I wouldn't have taken it, you know, very well.
No, you would have taken out the mascot.
Oh, absolutely. Half Cat, mate. He would have copped a flying, spinning heel kick. Fuck that motherfucker. Catman. who's gonna be brought up later in footballs in real life. I would have gone for Catman. I would have fucking, he would have had no makeup left by the time I was finished with him.
But what an incredible week of finals. They were all remarkable games. Like, even you look at the, like, the biggest margin was, you know, 22 points, Melbourne, Sydney.
Yep.
But you go, like, they were all absolutely incredible, weren't they?
Well, let's start Thursday night, and it just, like, okay, now I have a vested interest in this because I work on the front bar. Mick Molloy, probably one of the biggest Richmond supporters that is out there, and for the last 2 weeks of the season, he has rejoiced in Carlton's mishandling of their final two games. Let's put it like that.
He's not Robinson Crusoe, I must say.
That is true. So for Richmond to go, an absolute fucking belter of a game, 16 goals apiece. And it was one of those games too where you kind of, if you look at the score, you're like, oh, it must have been very defensive. And, you know, they just were, you know, let them off the chain. It just went end to end. But it was super high pressure and it was fucking on from start to finish. And then firstly, for Tom Lynch to have a goal overturned because basically the arc had 17 different angles that they looked at of Tom Lynch's face and went, he doesn't think he's kicked it. We're going to overturn it. And that was fucking incredible.
Now, what do you reckon? Goal or not? I feel like...
I didn't think it was, no.
I feel like over the post.
Yeah, I'm the same. But also thought, massive call for the umpire to go, I think it's a goal, but can you check? Like, how could he see? He needed to be like way behind the post to be able to see like up and that high. And he's going,
well, wait, how can he see? Like, he's fucking the goal umpire. Like, he's standing there next to the post. Like, he should be able to see. He should be able to, you know, make a pretty clear call.
Yeah, but they're pretty shit at their jobs, don't you think? Like, I think the arc is exposed at how pathetic goal umpires are. Like, they must have made, if we go back through like decisions in the 80s and 90s, there must be so many where you're like, he's got no fucking idea, but he's just fucking, he's just blindly going, I think that was a goal. And then they couldn't argue the point, so everyone just went back to the middle.
I do reckon, actually, if you go back in the past, like, you could find a whole bunch of calls. I mean, famous ones, obviously, Libba in
Tom
the
Hawkins.
97. Oh, yeah. Tom Hawkins, yeah, a fucking bounced off the post and hit the goal umpire in the head.
See, my case in point, goal umpires were pretty fucking shit ass.
Anthony Rocker in 02, grand final.
Oh, yeah, he was convinced he kicked the goal, wasn't he?
Now, it was Collingwood, so we're not going to protest too hard.
Yes.
But yeah, imagine all of history, like how many times. But then also, like, I think about it with cricket as well. You know, when they have Snicko and the fucking...
DRS.
Hawkeye or whatever. And yep. I go... I feel bad for the umpires in cricket, actually, by the fact that they have, like, three different ways to work out whether it's LBW or, you know, catch. And it's
they're actually regularly getting shown up for being shit at their
job. Yeah, yeah. And it's like a dude who's, like, got to look at the front foot line for a no ball, then look up at someone who bowled a, like, 100-mile ball, and then they go, oh, we're just going to bring in $150 million of Israeli military equipment to see if you fuck this up. It's like, yes, of course they fucked it up. Yep. It's fucking impossible.
But I think what football fans want is for the AFL to show the vision, because clearly they only have what's on the broadcast, right?
Yeah.
And so the Channel 7 broadcast, in that one shot where you can kind of maybe get a sense of whether the ball went over the top of the post, the top of the post was out of shot. So you're just like, it's so fucking shit that they go, is that, because then they go, oh, no, we have definitive. And you're like, well, show us definitive. Show me that it's over the top of the post.
You know, it's very funny how the AFL very quickly went like, no, nothing to see
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely went through. It wasn't a goal. You know what? Just is it time that we have higher posts? Like a post that would reach over the grandstand.
Well, actually, I mean, there could be an argument for that, actually. Like, you kind of, you know, if you add a few metres to the post, like, you can actually get more definitive version. Or why not make the post bigger than a regular kick? Would that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Because I reckon in the 80s and 90s, posts were shorter and they have become slightly longer, but just make them so long. And sure, you know, they might wobble in the wind and stuff like that, but that's the price you got to pay. So, because, you know, they could say it could cost you a final. It has cost a team a final, and it's really amusing because it was Richmond. And then they go down the other end of the ground. Bailey kicks it long, and Joe Danaher has five Richmond players around him, and not one of them could smoke the ball into the 30th row of the grandstand, and Joe Danaher just gets a toenail to it and kicks the
goal.
Did
the cobra, mate. Did the cobra.
Did he cobra up?
No, well, I'm making that up. So then we had Melbourne and Sydney. Now, I was talking to my nephew actually last night about this. I actually don't mind the idea of Buddy going out with a flag. I think actually that would be a nice little punctuation mark on his 10 years at the Swans, even though he's a low dog, dirty traitor. I actually feel like I'm getting on board the Buddy train and the Swans train, even though I'd like Melbourne to win it as well. But yep. I actually fell asleep at about half time of this one, but I've been up from about 3 a.m. doing some work I had to get in. And so it actually surprised me, this result, because it seemed to be like Melbourne, you know, we're getting a good handle on stuff. But yeah, Swans prelim. That's pretty
interesting. So I was at that game. Stephen May absolutely dominated Buddy. Like, it's kind of, you can just see Buddy's at the, you know, he's at the end of his powers. He's not commanding the best, you know, he still gets the best defender, but the best defender can easily beat
work
him.
And
Stephen
out.
May.
Yeah, just, gotcha. Yeah, wow, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
Him. And the free kicks that Buddy got, you know, it was just like, there wasn't a lot in it. It was just him really going to ground easily. Like, particularly the 50, that was just like, there was nothing in that. So, you know, the umpires still look out for him, but he wasn't as effective as he has been previously. But it just means someone else gets off the chain. And, mate, how long do you reckon, does it feel like Sam Reed has been playing forever?
That actually is a very good point. I actually feel like he has been playing forever. Hey, where were you sitting at the ground? Did you go Corbett again?
Yeah, absolutely. I was in the Fox Footy box once again, thanks to our good friends at Fox Footy. But you know what looked great, actually, because that's on the in the Shane Warne stand. And it was 78,000 people there on Friday night, so it was quite well attended. But you could, like, our view took, you could see the members, and the members was fucking packed.
Oh, really? All the Melbourne people, yeah. Okay, Sam Reed first played in 2010.
Yeah, okay. It feels like he's been going around for a little bit longer than that, because he's been in and out of the side and injured so much, and he was fucking great. They were really good, mate. They swarmed Sydney. They're a huge chance to get through to the grand final. Like, whoever they get, they'll get either, what, Collingwood or Freo up in Sydney, up at Rod Carter Studios.
Yeah, fuck, man. Maybe that's one I should go to, hey?
Yep, absolutely.
Does Fox have a box that... SCG, I can get in on. Oh,
you'd like to think they would.
Mate, come on. 2 years of the beep test. Fucking pay my dues.
Yeah exactly.
And then we head to Saturday Arvo, Pies and Cats, and that was another fucking blockbuster. That was remarkable.
Gary Rowan undid all the wrongs of the past. How about when he dropped that mark just with, like, you know, when he handballed onto Holmes, who kicked the goal to put him up by a goal, but you just went, oh, no. But luckily that was so far out that it didn't matter. But how was that fucking pack-marking goal
he took? At the
game,
I got the Junk Time Twitter account up on our thingo, and I was like, okay, how many Gary Rowan tweets am I going to put out today?
Yeah.
But then he fucking
kicked
the
seal. I did think
that
seal. I had one ready to go, but it didn't need to be done.
Yeah, I was just watching and I was just going, like, here we go. Okay, Gary. What are you going to do? What are you not going to do today, Gary? Yeah. But I mean, I don't think the ghosts are dead, but they're, you know, put off a bit for a while.
Yes, he played an exceptionally good game. But how good was Jordan Ngoi, for starters? He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Cameron was fucking amazing.
Did you see the die from Ginnivan?
Yes.
Dude. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, I think the big Duke with the big Duke put up the big hands. But he talked about, you know, they don't want to pay him free kicks. It's like, yeah, because he clearly didn't get pushed in the back and he dived about 5 metres.
Yeah, he didn't get pushed in the back that hard. I was reading the article today by Robbo, Mark Robinson, and he said that he reckons that Luke Darcy will get a please sort of explain from the AFL, just saying, or more of a like, hey, don't say that Ginnivan, you know, is a diver.
Yeah, really?
Do you reckon the AFL will get in contact with broadcasters and be like, hey, can you not say that kind of stuff?
That's very interesting, actually. That's actually an interesting kind of thing in terms of, like, does the AFL have that kind of power if they kind of tell commentators not to say certain things?
Yeah, because someone sent us today on our socials, I think it was on Instagram, that there was like a survey going, which football podcast do you listen to? And we were listed as a part of like an official AFL website survey. So they clearly, if they're listening, if they're aware of us, that means someone
hello,
has
AFL.
To listen to us. Yeah, that means someone has to listen to us. And how have we not gotten up to 1,000 please explains per week? Going, stop saying this about that person. You can't say that about them. stop mentioning.
Can you lay off Fraser Ray Chamberlain? And like when the time we proposed a new rule that if a player gets bumped high or whatever, and then other players come in to fly the flag, we put forward the prospect that you had 5 minutes of flying the flag, and you could use anything. You can rip a chair out. You can whack a player with a chair, and they couldn't fight back. And the AFL never took us up on that, but they're clearly listening. And you know, the AFL Black Ops obviously have their spies everywhere. Like they're probably tuning into this, like you know, tuning into Wi-Fi right now while we're talking to each other.
And probably our stuff comes out censored, so we don't even listen back to it.
But it's probably redacted. It's probably a transcript with a lot of redacted. Yeah. But it's a lot of four-letter words that are redacted.
I can't work out what that means. And also things that Mark Neild may have said that got redacted from our live show last week.
And then we finished off on Saturday night with Frio and the Dogs. And the Dogs came out firing, but then Frio proved too strong in the end. 13-point win. Yeah, but I think the Dogs were 40 points up at one stage.
Yeah, they got out to 41. And it looked like how far the Dogs. Like I think it was 5-0 in the first quarter, and then they came home with, I think, 4 in a row, and you just went, oh, this is fucking on the Doggies. The Doggies don't like Optus Stadium. They should actually ban themselves from playing over there.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they can maybe request they play only at Subiaco from now on.
Yeah, because the last two finals they've had over there, I think they've had a run of, I think it's about 30-3 or something, or 4, something like that.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, so they're not a fan. They don't love it, you know.
And then we look at the other final that involved Carlton. Da-da-da-da-da.
We're talking VFL now, are we? This is how pathetic you've become.
Hey, can we?
So next week we have the D's versus the Lions, which has got you know, the sort of little sidebar, because Thursday night Richmond Brisbane was so frenetic that Dane Zorko couldn't even wish death on someone's mum. That's how pacey it was, and so that is going to be the return game of that. So there's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a sidebar to that game, which is going to be great. And then you got Frio and Collingwood, Justin Longmuir, who kind of set up Collingwood's defensive scheme before he went to Frio. So he knows exactly the way that they play.
Do you reckon Zorko actually said that, or do you think it's the other thing?
No, I think it's the death to the mum, because the mum came out and said, "I'm fine, there's nothing wrong with me."
you're a mum of a footballer and you've got to come out and be like, "No, look, I'm..." Punch me in the stomach. Like, I'm a picture of health. Like,
but maybe like all her friends were ringing up and texting going, "Is there something wrong with you? Like, you're okay?" So she just came out and her and her partner were like, "No, she's fine. There's nothing wrong with it."
God, dude.
So be careful what you say in the footy field, because the mums then have to come out and, you know, defend themselves, and that's wrong.
I remember playing in the amateurs. I don't like to talk about it. 1999, best first-year player, St. Mary's. And D4 division, no big deal. And
did you also win best last year player when they delisted you?
No, I think I played till pre-season 2002. So
okay.
I think I got a job, and therefore I kind of couldn't. I didn't want to get a bad injury. But
you didn't want to injure your beautiful little face for Skid House.
Well, that's the thing. Right? I mean, it was on camera roll, so yeah, you gotta look good. But I actually had a opposition player. I think we're playing Eltham, actually. And it was the fucking worst umpire the umpire was talking about going out with the team that night. Like going out with the opposition. He was like, "Where are we going, boys?"
I
got a free in like the last term, and I was like, "You are the worst umpire I've ever seen." He's like, "Oh, mate, just worry about having a kick." But the insult that one of the players gave me, and I don't like to use this word, but a player suggested that my father would jizz in my hair. And I'm like, what?
It's so nuanced.
And I was like, okay, that's clearly a thing that has happened to you in the past and you need to be talking to someone.
What I like about it is that, you know, it was so left of field that it made you think about it. You know, you weren't just like, you know, if it was anything else, like, oh, you know, the regular that, you know, slept with your mum and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You like, heard it, whatever. But jizz in your hair, you're like, well, hang on. What? Did you just get in your kitchen, mate? Smart.
Smart but I think move. I think I had long hair, and I think I'd washed it that morning, and so you kind of go at the game, kind of you're not looking about, you know, your appearance. So I think it was like a bit boofy, you know. I don't go curly. I kind of go out, you know.
Yeah.
Like, big. I mean, COVID lockdowns, they've got great photos of me.
So clearly, he was questioning why you had to wash your hair that morning, and obviously, it was because the Friday night pre-game ritual.
Actually,
you've got
now,
a bit of a superstition that you don't play well. Unless
now I'm thinking about it, actually. I'm actually getting a bit emotional. It's actually having a flashback.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Hey, can we say thank you to all the people who came out to our live show last week? It was a cracking show, Adam. And that's not on us at all. It's on our three guests, Damien Fleming, Matthew Lloyd, Cam Mooney. They were fucking brilliant, weren't they?
Yeah, it was really good fun. And sports people just have the best stories. And whenever you talk to them beforehand, they're like, oh, I'm not very funny, you know, I'm not very good. And you're like, dude, you played at the highest level. Some good shit's got to have happened to you. And we're so excited to always hear it. And they were brilliant. They were fantastic. And they just, because they sit there and they watch like 10 minutes before they come on stage. So they know exactly the level that we play at, which is very low. And they all just... get on board. And yeah, it was a fantastic afternoon. So thank you once again to all the junk timers who came out. And obviously we do have to redact some things and cut some things out that, you know, happened in the live show. So that's why it's best that you come along so you get to see all the inside action before it has to get censored.
Now, we talked to Matthew Lloyd before the show and he was like delightful and lovely and, you know, and hilarious. Did you get to see Flem and Cam Mooney before we went on stage or...?
Cam Mooney I'd been with in the box the week before at the Carlton Collingwood game, so I kind of gave him a heads up of what it was like. But Flem, I hadn't, no. I hadn't spoken to Flem for a bit. Like, I think, I don't know if he listens, but he's aware that it was a comedy podcast and stuff. So,
I mean, last time I saw Flem, let me think, it was 2016, and I went to a box. Oh, I'm getting into your lifestyle. Went to a box, a Hawthorn Adelaide game. It was the game where Poppy went mad. He kicked about 5 goals and he kicked the sealer with like about 30 seconds left. And we came back from about 5 goals down. But it was part of that, you know, Limo's like Hawthorn group?
Oh, yes, I do. Could not think of a worse bunch of blokes. Yeah,
I've got to get in on it. But I think the entrance fee is like you got to earn about $400,000 a year. But so it's a group, a friend of the show, Anthony Lehman has, and it's like Flam, Ross Stevenson, 3AW, John Sylvester, crime reporter, Steve Quatermain.
Steve Quatermain.
Yeah, so there a bunch of them. And I remember we were working with a friend, Matt, at the time, and he's an Adelaide supporter. And I was like, oh, you know, we've got the invite to the box. I was like, you know, why not come along? Like, you know, it's a bit of a different thing. You're at the G, you know, it's something a bit different. And then Hawthorn won by about, you know, by 3 points, you know, within 30 seconds of the siren. And Matt, I said to him afterwards, he was like, thank you for letting me come to that, but it was the worst night of my life. He's like, because a friend of the show, Declan Faye as well, and he said there was like 8 or 9 Hawthorn supporters, all going nuts. And he said Steve Quatermain was like, tapping him on the shoulder going, you're in shock, you can't believe it, can you? And he's like, I think I'm going to punch Steve Quatermain in the face.
Yeah, fair enough.
But so, we have another live show, mate.
We do. Post-grand final, we're back. After having to go to Zoom for the last couple of years, we are back live, Junk Timers, with the Two Guys, One Cup Junk Time crossover grand final bonanza.
It's going to be actually massive. We're going to have Charlie Clawson joining us. We're going to have Will Anderson. He won't be able to actually make it in person, but he will call in like Charlie did, 3 years ago now when Iona was born. Oh, Iona would be nearly 3. Shout out to Iona. And and so it's going to be us.
So, yeah, so just so you know, Junk Timers, Will won't be there, but he will be on the phone just because he's got his show Question Everything is shooting that week, so he can't come down.
Yeah, can't get a bit of a COVID bubble. But come on out. And we'll obviously have a special guest coming along as well. Now, we're in a bit of a smaller venue this year. We're at the European Beer Cafe, but we're now downstairs. So it has a capacity of 140 people. So not the kind of can't cram in like the 250 that we normally get. So if you want to jump on to try booking and get your tickets, just type in Junk Time or Two Guys, One Cup. Use the numbers, not the words. And we can enjoy the grand final, which I have no idea what it's going to be.
What's your prediction from here?
I mean, if you look at just kind of prelims, you kind of go like, okay, Geelong and Sydney. But I'm like, ever since they brought the buy in, like, it actually has been a lot of people losing that first qualifying or whatever. And I'm going to go
Sydney, Melbourne. Sydney, Melbourne is my grand final choice. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, gotcha. So, yeah. So,
Sydney to beat Collingwood.
Yep.
And then Melbourne to beat Geelong.
Ooh, sheesh.
Yeah.
It's a big call, man.
Yeah, I believe that will happen.
I mean, Geelong kind of, they need to get one. Like, I saw a thing the other day, like, over the last 20 years, they've finished in top four 14 times. And
yeah, wow.
And have fallen short. I think, is it like six out of the last seven prelims? Am I right? I need to get my pen together and work it out. But they definitely know how to make a prelim. But don't know how to make a grand final. Nah,
yeah. COVID year in 2020, they were there. But so get your tickets for the live show. It's going to be fantastic. Good fun afternoon.
Do you find it interesting that Christian Petrarca has a broken leg and yet they're still more worried about his cork thigh, a cork calf?
Yeah, I thought it was one and the same sort of injury, because there was that smother that he got when he ran up behind Buddy, which I think he shouldn't have been able to be in the protected zone when he snuck up on Buddy. Like, Buddy was like, how the fuck did he smother that when he came from behind? And I'm all with that. But anyway, Buddy kicked him in the calf, which smothered the ball, and he got a contusion in his calf, and they're more worried about that. But he also got a hairline fracture of, I'm assuming it's the shin. Is it from the same incident? Do we know?
That's a good question, actually. Yeah, I actually don't know for sure.
Because this could end, you know, the way racehorses go down. Like, Christian Petrarca could be shot in the semi-final. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he goes down, fucking leg's broken, you just go, mate, he's no good to anyone anymore. Fucking put him down.
That's actually not a bad idea. Like, if we could bring the, I mean, it would help out the sports bet people and the like. If we could bet on players
assassination
being shot with a shotgun to put up the curtain. Okay, mate, you know, okay, you've got a year left in your contract. Mm. You've just done a double ACL. Let's bring up the curtain.
A double ACL.
Double ACL. Mm. Bring out the curtain. Look, you know, a lot of kids will be crying, but it's for the best. Yeah,
it's a reality. People die. People die all the time.
Have you ever been at the races when they've done that?
I reckon I must have been, but I don't. I think I definitely have, but I haven't seen it.
Like, yeah,
I
haven't, sure.
Because you just, mate, when you're in the birdcage, you're just in the Meyer tent and you just, you know, you're on the dance floor, so you don't really see what's going on out there on the racetrack. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah. I work in the greyhound industry, so I've never seen any of that kind of stuff at all.
Do you have any superstitions when you played footy?
Not when I played, sport? I don't think. When I would go to games, actually, I think by the fact that I think I worn them through, but I used to wear Hawthorn socks to games. And then I used to call it my lucky jumper. So in 2008, I actually did an interview with Campbell Brown and Andrew McVeigh. No, is that right? Campbell Brown and handsome guy.
Essendon?
Yeah. Essendon and Andrew handsome. Welsh. I think you're Andrew right. Welsh. Yeah.
Jared McVeigh.
Yes.
Mark McVeigh.
Yes, that's right. Yes, so Andrew Welsh. And at the end, Campbell gave me a jumper. And so before the 2008 grand final, I wrote in big letters, Cyril, on that jumper. And people would call out after the game, like, "Hey, Cyril, hey, Cyril." And I was really cool, and people liked me.
God. you're an adult fucking loser.
And so when I went to the 2012 grand final, a friend of the show, Declan Fay again, he actually was doing a podcast with Hawthorne at the time, and he got a jumper that Cyril had signed. So I met with Declan before the game, and he gave me the jumper, and I was like, "Oh, cool, great." I put the jumper on, and then we lost.
And you lost.
Yeah. So then that became my unlucky jumper, even though it was, yep, you know, officially autographed by Cyril. And so then for the next 3 years, I put on, I made sure to wear my 08 Cyril jumper to make sure that it was like lucky.
Right. Now, the reason I asked that, I didn't want any of those stories, but the reason I ask is because there was an article in The Age this week, and they were talking about pre-game rituals from players, yep, and supporters and stuff. And like some of them are kind of a bit like dull. Like a lot of players, Max Gawn said he just watches a stupid movie, like an easy to watch, you know, can just sit down, don't have to think, 2 hours, zone out, watch a movie.
Yeah, like a Schindler's List, you know, just like something.
Absolutely,
you can
just zone out. Yeah.
Cruise through, no feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. Marcus Bontempelli says, "I have an hour lie down, then wake up, I have a coffee. I typically always kick with the same player. It's Aaron Norton. We always have a kick in the warm-up together." And that's about it. Whereas someone like Scott Pendlebury has more of a superstitious thing where he puts the left sock on and then the left boot, which is weird. Because don't you go sock, sock, shoe, shoe? Like a normal
human? I
imagine
you would, yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's... I'm trying to think about my foot routine, and
mate, it's sock, sock, because you're standing there with your socks together, balled up.
I'm usually sock, sock, and then thong, thong.
Good, good, yeah, yeah. Well, I just go boat shoe, boat shoe, with no socks.
And then there's a lady who's a Melbourne fan, and she seems to pretty much go to every game. They go up to the Northern Territory, and they have a bit of a tradition where they go on a camel ride, and they sell crepes at the game, which is possibly the most Melbourne thing I've ever heard in my entire life. But I do love this guy at the end of the article. He talks about how sophisticated guy. He talks about here we go, Shane Mulgrave, who in quotes smashes 10 pots at the All Nations Hotel before catching the courtesy bus to the game.
See, he's got a down patch. Shane knows what's going on. I wonder if Burbank and Babbage are like, well, after every grand final win, we like to end up in prison. Like, I wonder if that will become a tradition for them now. Like, they'll feel lost, not knowing. Dude. Like, they probably blame themselves for the loss on the weekend because they hadn't, you know, jumped three borders and falsified official documents.
For
and
sure.
It's their fault.
I mean, if they have their, if they do have kind of, you know, and people have that superstition of like, you know, don't move seats or, you know, like you said, you know, like last week or whatever, like, you know, a friend said, you know, I think we've got this. It's like, what are you saying? Like the tradition, if like Melbourne make the grand final, like those motherfuckers have to go like, okay, we've got to go to, Falls.
Pretend we've lived there for a little bit.
Yep, and then we got to go to Darwin. And
Darwin,
then we
falsify some documents and make
Perth.
Up an address that we don't live at. Yeah, and then
and
go to
then
Perth.
Come back to Melbourne for the grand final. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's fucking, yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy for them. It's not easy. Do you have superstitions like a comedy festival? I know that I do, that I'll always have my routine in my back left pocket and then another routine like in my front left pocket and always do that and maybe one beer before the show.
Do you mean like your set list?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, gotcha. Have you ever had to pull it out and have a look?
No, because I have a cheat one on the table next to me.
Yeah, gotcha.
But I have. Hey, there has been times. Oh, there has been times. You know, when you forget your material, and like 10 seconds feels like 5 minutes as you're standing there going, oh, I cannot remember what the fuck is next.
Yeah, yeah. I actually met a wrestler.
God.
A number
I'll
of
just,
years ago. You're gonna love
I'll just
this story.
Leave for a couple of minutes.
But Mick Foley, a.k.a. Mankind, a.k.a. Do Love. And he did a stand-up show, and I met him after the show, and we had dinner at a Greek restaurant called Stalactites. And
did you really?
And he, lovely guy.
Mankind's kind of a big deal, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a fucking big deal, yeah.
How'd you end up having dinner with him?
it freaked me out, like hanging out with him. Yeah.
How did that happen?
So he did a show with another friend, Brendan Burns. You know Burnsy?
Yep.
And they did like a double bill. They toured around the country, and another couple of friends of mine were producing the show, and so I had to work that day, and so they were at the Athenaeum. So I went by to go and see my two friends who were producing on the way home. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can catch up with Burnsy too. And then Mick Foley was doing his meet and greet. So I got a photo with Mick. And then Burnsy afterwards was like, I saw him and he was like, hey, we're going to dinner. You want to come? And I'm like, I want to go to there. And so we hung out for, you know, 2 hours or whatever. And he was broken. Like, he went out the back of the Athenaeum. Like, you have about 10 steps to walk up the stairs. And he was broken. Struggling big time, but since then he's had like hip replacements and knee replacements.
Comedy will do that to you.
But he did show me a little trick actually, in that he showed me he wrote his set list on his water bottle. And so
that's clever.
I've never actually done it, but like he had like about 7 things written on the water bottle, and he was like, you know, you can go over and kind of look at it, hold it up, and you know, figure out where you are. And I was like, that's actually a really good idea. Anyway, Mick Foley got thrown off the top of Hell of a Cell by The Undertaker in 1998, and Jim Ross said, oh my God, he's broken in half.
We should do some footballers in real life.
From Larry, plenty of Fife in real life sightings lately. He lives around the corner, but rarely see him. Was in the local IGA. What's odd? He was wearing a Fremantle beanie. Oh, that's the classic Fife. That is fucking...
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't have a... Maybe the Pirate Life one was in the wash. Or the brand Fife one must have been dirty.
Who the fuck wears a club beanie when they play for the club? Nathan Fife. I can picture him doing that.
I think a lot of... I reckon a lot of players do that. You know, they get the free shit. They just wear it. Maybe not the jumper, but the beanie, I reckon you do.
Yeah. I think he's having a midlife identity crisis. He was also buying cheap white bread. Very frowned upon in South Fremantle. Drives a Lexus. I believe he does very well for himself.
I didn't think he'd be a Lexus man. I thought he'd be some sort of sports car-y type dude, you know?
Although
he's probably got to deal with Lexus of Fremantle, our good friends.
Do they have a connection like Lexus to the club, needs. Do you reckon, maybe? Like a bit of a freebie?
Yeah, Fifey's not paying for his car.
We've actually got a lot of footballers in real life, actually.
Yeah.
From Jeremy, I was drinking at the Civic Hotel in Inglewood, Perth, another Perth one, last Sunday when I ran into 2-time premiership Lewis Jetta. The reason I remembered he had won 2 premierships is because he had both of his 2012, we don't talk about that, and 2018 medals with him. He was enjoying a few beers with mates and proudly showing off the medals to anyone who was interested. They had clearly seen better days, leading me to believe that it wasn't the first time he'd brought them out on the town. Wow, pretty bold.
You know what? No, fucking great idea. If you're a footballer and that's all you live for and you're in the town where you won a flag for that team, then you are going to, may as well let everybody know. People see you like, mate, are you Lewis Jetta? You're like, oh, did you notice this premiership medal that I'm wearing? Go buy me a beer. I fucking won you a flag. I made your fucking life.
Hey, one of the more memorable moments was the...
Him and Cyril, yeah?
Well, I'm going to get to that, but the prelim where he ran, I would estimate, 80 metres and bounced the ball 3 times.
and then
the next week, Cyril and Dennis Committee with the great commentary, kind of something along to, you know, it's a main event in any stadium. You know, it's Usain Bolt, you know, versus Usain Bolt. But I will maintain that Cyril actually had a bunch of contests before that, so was a bit tired. But then he pushed...
Fuck off.
He pushed Lewis in the back and got downfield. And anyway, I don't want to talk about it. I was wearing my unlucky jumper. I saw Nick Holland at the AFLW game last weekend. Hawthorn Essendon.
So former Hawthorn player?
Yeah.
Who else did he play for? North?
No, Hawthorn. Had a brother, just Ben, Hawthorn. Who played for Richmond. Okay. Looking sharp, though. Looking fit as fuck.
Yep.
From Andrew, does this qualify as footballers in real life? I'm hoping it does because of the bye. I saw Adam having a coffee with Sam Pang at Sibling Cafe in North Carlton. It was freezing outside. They're both in shorts. What's going on here, mate?
I don't know about that, Andrew. I don't think I was in shorts. Sam may have been, but I doubt very much I was wearing shorts in winter. I'm not that guy.
Catch up with him often, like, you know, what are you plotting? What are you scheming?
We're actually talking about his stand-up show, which he's doing the show with Mick Molloy, Marty Sheargold and Lawrence Mooney at the end of the year. So we were just chatting all things stand-up because Sam loves his stand-up.
From name not here. I apologise. I didn't put that in there. After a solid night on the piss watching the match of the round, Eagles-Cats, a few mates and I decided to head to Leaderville for a nightcap at the Hallowed Hippie Club.
Oh, here we go.
Do you remember when we did half an hour on the hippie club?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Shout out to the hippie club. I'm sure they're big fans of the show. Whilst that getting drinks, DJ E-Funk was nowhere to be found, however.
Oh, come on, E-Funk.
E-Funk, night off, mate. I mean, yeah, he's working 7 days a week.
True, that's true.
However, surrounded by a small enthusiastic entourage, Eagles big man Nick Natanui was spotted enjoying what seemed to be a gin and tonic or perhaps a vodka lime and soda. Nick Nat at the hippie club. Fucking hell, that's a big get.
That is, isn't it? No wonder DJ E-Funk took the night off. You can't compete. I reckon they would have been put Nick Nat in the decks.
Actually, probably be fair enough because like people go, Nick Nat's coming in and DJ E-Funk is like, look, I might have the night off because I don't want the crowd going too wild. Like, we can't
have Nick Nat absolutely.
DJ E-Funk in the same room.
Yeah, because, you know, I'll whip them into such a frenzy they might injure Nick Nat.
Later in the night, to take a break from the crowded dance floor after a well-received Grease medley, I also bumped into Lewis Jetta, apparently thinking of hanging up the boots at the Mighty Black Ducks, the Swan Districts. Didn't stay to chat because as a Blues fan, I felt good night's sleep was needed to best foster a pensive mindset for the following afternoon's season-defining game against the Pies. How'd that game go? I can't remember. How'd it work out for you guys?
I would have headed back to Hippie Club if I was name redacted.
From Simon, hope Rosie's gotten past a pretty disappointing finals miss for the Blues.
You didn't need to put this bit in. He also says I really felt for him Sunday Arvo.
Yeah. I really felt for him on Sunday Arvo. There you go. That's nice.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you. You're good human.
Anyway, just spotted Nick Lizard Blakely heading into a shopping centre in Rosebery at lunch today. Couldn't miss that glorious mullet and mo. He was actually really fucking tall in real life, which I found surprising. He stepped out of a pretty beat-up Holden Captiva that he had parked illegally with the rear of the car basically in a roundabout. Didn't even have the decency to leave his hazard lights on. I thought about telling him that I'd just seen a couple of Rangers. Can't read. I'd seen a couple of Rangers booking cars around the corner, but figured he could afford it. Doing very well.
Love it.
From Ben, Brody Grundy, Almond Croissant and Ed Langdon having a coffee, no pastry, at Loafer in North Victoria. Do you know that one?
No. Yes, I do. I do know where Loafer is. That's interesting. How would Ed Langdon and Brody Grundy be friends? I suppose maybe because, was it Tom Langdon that played with Collingwood for a little bit?
That's a very good question, man. I mean, what do you reckon?
Unless it was Tom Langdon that he saw, because he does look a little bit like Ed.
Do you reckon,
we'll never know.
Brody might be moving on.
It's looking likely, isn't it? It's looking like he'll go to either Melbourne or Geelong and Collingwood will be paying part of his wage. It does look like he's going to go to... He doesn't want to go to South Australia. Everyone's like, he's from there. It's like, yeah, but he fucking lives here now. He lives, obviously, around North Fitzroy. He's in a good area. He's not going to give that up.
I know it's, you know, it's obviously kind of worked out with Buddy by the fact that, you know, heck, you know, they've made a few grand finals, but they, I mean, haven't won one, but, you know, he makes it up with jumper sales, you know. But, I mean, I had to be Kane Corns. But, yeah, the seven-year deals kind of give me the heebie-jeebies every time they come up.
You more of a six-year deal man or a 15-year deal?
Look, I'm just saying that's my take. From Josh, up in Sydney on Monday for work, ran into Callum Sinclair and Isaac Heaney chowing down on some pastries at Black Star Bakery at the EQ. Oh, so yeah, that's the entertainment quarter, Fox Studios.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Only did I realise later that day that Callum hung up the boots that very same morning. Skinfold's already going to the wayside, I say. From Liam, long-time listener, first-time footballer in real life. Flown down from Sydney to Melbourne for the qualifying final, doing very well for myself. Decided midway through the second quarter, the ideal time for a short queue in the urinal. Intimidation hit me when I realised the penis next to me belonged to none other than Brisbane Bears legend Nathan Buckley. As we washed our hands side by side, I decided I should say something. What came in my mouth was, I never thought I'd be taking a piss next to Nathan Buckley. After asking me to repeat myself over the noise of the hand dryer, he responded, now your life's complete. He patted me on the back three times. Strange to see such a famous penis in a civilian bathroom.
But at least you're confident in the knowledge. Yeah, you feel like you, at least you'd be confident that when he patted you on the back, he had washed his hands, unlike the other 70,000 blokes at the ground.
That's right.
And
funny.
Also, there was one quick sighting that we had sent in to us from Reese that they sent us a bit of a an Instagram post. The Catman is back.
I saw that. Yeah, thank you, Reese. Yeah, Catman's back, and he's more racist than ever, apparently.
Yeah. And also, at the end of it, I don't know if you watched the whole video, but he does like a couple of meows, and I'm pretty sure he ends with a woof.
Okay.
Like he barks at the end. He just goes, you know you're a fucking cat, yeah?
And also like meowing sort of is like not actually kind of particularly threatening. Like if you have a dog barking at you, you go, okay, I'm a bit standoffish.
Yeah, fucking yeah.
But if a cat comes up and goes, meow, you're like, okay, I can take a cat.
Yeah, fuck off, mate, yeah.
But Catman's back in town. I don't actually know what brought it on, but I feel like if you've lived an identity for like 20 odd years where all you do is dress up like a cat with face paint and fake teeth and go to football games.
Oh, do you think anonymity?
I feel it's hard to kind of walk it back. Yeah, I feel like your identity. Then you know when you when you have to catch a train home from Southern Cross Station at 7 PM dressed like a fucking cat. You know, you get used to the adulation, don't you?
True. Yeah, you do. You do.
Hey, don't forget our live show, the grand final live show with Charlie Clawson. Will Anderson's going to call in. It's going to be absolutely awesome. And we've got so many amazing weeks of September still to come. We are junktimeinfopod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. And go Hawks.
And go Swans.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.